Okay, we can start the offering with the tray. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Let us now compose our mind, develop the faith, the sadha, virya, and mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavantang adivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Then we will continue with the chanting, starting from the vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato สัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะ Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Pānātipātā vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Ādīnādānā vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Kāmesu micchācārā vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Musāvādā vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Sūrāmeraya macchāpamādathāna vīramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Now we chant the Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganna sārapaditena Dipena tamadangsina Tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena Dopena hang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bacana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena matena cha hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata itang me Kayo tatayati vinasa bhavang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Bojanam parikapitam Anukampam upadaya Patikam hatumuttamam Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and diligently remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect, Tripaja. Badang Pujayam. Dhammang Pujayam. Sanghang Pujayam. Okay, you all can be seated. Then you're off the light. And you can have half an hour of silent inner awareness meditation. So tonight is Thursday, 19th September 2019. So we are having our class, Thursday class, at Brother Sui An and Mipong's house. So for those who already know how to meditate, you can just proceed. Constantly remember to relax into every mind state that arises. Like we went through the sharing last Thursday. To develop the meditation is very easy. It's like learning how to swim. The analogy of using a float to assist you to swim is very, very good. The object of meditation and all those skillful means that you use to assist you to anchor the mind, to develop the mindfulness, they are just like the float. When you understand, you don't need the float. But for people who don't understand, they felt they need a float to keep them afloat. So if you believe that you need a float to float, which means you don't understand yourself, you don't understand what swimming is all about. Because according to physics, we are lighter than water. So our natural state of body is buoyancy. If you have that understanding, you will know how to allow your body to sink down when you are in a swimming pool or in a pool of water. Then when the up thrust reach the weight of the water displaced, it will push the body up. So this buoyancy force will make you float. You don't have to learn how to float. You don't have to struggle to float. That is basically what swimming is all about. When you understand, you just relax, silent, aware, it will float by itself. Then to swim, you just move. Meditation is the same. The natural state of mind is already the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness, and inner mindfulness. You don't have to learn to be mindful. You only need to have the spiritual faculties developed. Then naturally, you will be mindful. But before the spiritual faculties are developed, if you still want to meditate, then what you need to do is do not disturb the mind anymore. Because this mind has become heedless due to your lack of understanding. Because you lack understanding in the midst of life, you are heedless, you think a lot, you create a lot of mental hindrances through your stirring of mind, reaction to sense experience. So that's how you develop all the mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state until it becomes so habitual. So when you develop this habitual sense experience reaction, the first two mental hindrances of sensual desire, you will be very strong. So what must you do? You should have the understanding, like the swimming analogy. If your natural state of mind is already the meditative state, then why must you keep on stirring the mind through creating more thought in the name of meditation? You think you are the meditator. You must do certain things to develop the meditation. There is a fallacy. The true understanding is, without thought, you already aware. So why can't you just relax, maintain the awareness and the silence, and don't resist or try to control or suppress the thought or the mental hindrance? Just let it be. Then since all these thoughts, they are not intrinsic within your true mind, they will cease by itself. Because these are dependent originating thoughts, causal phenomena caused by your heedlessness in your daily life. So this stirring of mind that created the habitual tendency that leads to the heedless thinking, they can slow down. So if you know how to just relax, silent and aware, the four support. Relax, don't do anything, let things be. Then everything will settle down. Yeah. So the moment you are relaxed, you are at peace. Yeah. Then maintain awareness. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Then through that silence, observe what happened. How all this sankhara activities slow down. And how it returned to its original state of stillness, tranquility of mind. So meditation is just so simple when you understand. Relax, maintain awareness until you experience the silent mind. The moment you experience the silent mind, you are without thought. When you are without thought, that is your true mind. That's why the Mahayana teaching is also quite good. Some of the Zen masters who understand, they say, Wu Nian, Jiu Shi Zhen Xing. When you are without thought, your true mind will arise. Whereas the opposite is, when you create heedless thinking, Dong Nian, Ji Wu Ming. That's why they have the famous saying, Qi Xing, Dong Nian. When you arise the mundane mind or the thinking or the thought, that is the mundane activity of mind. And our Theravada teaching is the same. The first two links of Paticca-samuppada, avijja paccaya sankhara, dependent on ignorance, thinking arise, it conditions sankhara, thinking activity. So this is exactly the same. Dong Nian Ji Wu Ming means when you create sankhara movement, activity of mind, that is ignorant. So when you understand this, you will know how to meditate. Yeah? So I just give you this instruction, then I will let you meditate on your own. Huh? If you are still not clear, not sure, you can ask me afterwards. Okay. you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then to page 6, we will do the chanting, invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the kings or sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Ahuneyo, pahuneyo,
피네요 안젤리 타라네요 아노트랑 분야케당 로카사티 사두 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 Okay, let us pay respect to Tripaja. Bedang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind, maintain some form of attention. Then we'll continue with our second session. Second session, before I continue from page 50, last paragraph of the transcript book on the 75 lesson of the 6th Pitya Platform Sutta, I promise you all just now for giving you the instruction. If you don't quite understand the instruction, then you can ask me to clarify. Anybody got any doubt about the instruction? Or you don't understand what the instruction is? Anybody? Or do you have any question regarding meditation or the Dhamma? You just have to raise your hand if you got any. Anybody? Don't have, Okay, then we continue, Turn to page 50. This is the part 3, I think last two Thursday we have our first and second part, There is also the last Thursday short note, outline short note. I see if we have time, maybe we will look at it, So now turn to page 50. Last paragraph. This one is all regarding meditation. You understand this, you will know how to meditate very easily and you will progress very fast. So first, train your mind until no thought. If this no thought state also you are not able to arise, it means you are still not ready to develop the meditation as yet because you have yet to realize your true mind, the silent mind. So this sentence, how many of you cannot understand? Everybody can understand, Okay, that's easy, Just now when I started, I give you the instruction, The Mahayana got a very good saying. Maybe Pamasuri not wrong. Maybe you have to write. Wu nian, jiu shi zhen xing. Whereas dong nian, ji wu ming. I just write two row. Just write two row. Wu nian. 就是真心动念即无明. This is a very good Mahayana saying. So you understand this, then it's easy for you to develop the understanding of how to train your mind, how to develop the meditation. Okay. Wow, your Mandarin writing very nice, good. Sadhu, So for those who know Mandarin, it's easy for you to understand, So here it say, Wu nian. Wu nian means don't have thought. When you are without thought, your true mind arise. Without thought. That is your true mind. So this part is very important. When you understand this, meditation becomes very easy. The mistake that a lot of meditators do is they thought to meditate, you need to do something. Where you always consider yourself meditating. So to meditate, I must follow instruction. I must note this, note that, or I must have an object of meditation to do the meditation. When you do that, it means you don't understand this very profound statement. Your true mind is the meditative state. That is your true nature. It's just like swimming. The natural state of the body is lighter than water. That's why it's buoyancy. It will float. Then why do you learn how to float? Through struggling in the pool. You struggle to keep yourself afloat because you think you cannot float. But when you understand that truth, to float, you don't have to learn. You don't have to do anything. Just let the body go down. Then when the up thrust balance back the weight of the water displaced by your body, Eureka, principle, Archimedes principle, then this up thrust will push your body up. Then when you realize that, that is like Eureka, you awaken. That's why Archimedes, when he discovered this, it seems he was having his bath. He ran out naked because he was so happy. Eureka! Because the emperor at that time, I think the king, you know what he wanted him to do? He wanted to know whether the goldsmith who did the crown for him cheated on him. So to calculate it, he discovered the Archimedes principle. Because whatever thing you put into the water, the up thrust is equivalent to the weight of the body, the mass of the water displaced. Because of that theory, he can get the answer. So he submerged that crown into a full brim of water, so that whatever overflow, he collected it, then he weighed. Then he can confirm. So when you understand that, meditation is the same. The original state of mind, without the thought, is the true mind. That is your original nature, penlightenment. Your true nature, before sankhara activity arise, before thought arise. If you know that is your true mind, that is your meditative mind, the awareness that you are seeking, then you don't have to do anything. Relax away. Just let the thought slow down. Cease. And what is thought? Thought is sankhara, mental activity. They are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not intrinsic to your true mind. When you are completely silent without thought, you can see them. How thought arises. Because when you are mindful, you can see the birth of thought, the formation of thought. Then you realize thought is without the thinker. Thought arises through condition. Respond to memory. Without memory, there is no thought. That's like the newborn baby, they don't have a thought. It's only later on when the conditioning and the brain start to accumulate, then they learn and it starts to arise thought. Even in your meditation, if you are completely relaxed, aware, and silent, you can see all this. Then in your daily life, the daily mindfulness, you can also see them. Then you will come to realize that the five aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind, which is your thought. Do you know what is a thought or not? Before the thought arises, you are just awareness. Understand? Awareness. The oneness. So you are spacious awareness without a center. Then what happens? How you create a thought? You have to perceive it then to create a thought then. Let's say this painting or the Buddha image. What do you do? That spacious awareness, you shrink it down to that small thing that you want to perceive, like the Buddha Rupa or painting or whatever. The fan, the aircon sound or whatever. So you shrink it into a small, tiny space. And this is the pure awareness before the content went in. This is what the Buddha meant by, in the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. Just the pure perception, consciousness, without its content. No one to see as yet. Your views and opinion and conditioning from your brain hasn't went in. But the moment you input the content, this one is the content of consciousness. The moment you input your content, the pure awareness or the pure consciousness without its content, these two you combine, they become a thought. And this is your second aspect. Oh. The five aggregates of form and mind. So far, can understand? So this is how you create thought. You shrink your awareness, focus, that's why through perception, you input the content. Because to perceive, you need memory. You need the memory to tell you what that thing is. Then the content went in. Then depend on your delusion or your ignorance, unless you are enlightened, the content of consciousness that go in will have the evil roots. Because it's deluded. It's the egoic mind. Self-delusion. Sakrayadity. That's why this one becomes egoic. When it becomes egoic, it will attach, it will cling, it will grasp. That's why the five aggregates of grasping is dukkha. That's why rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vijnana is dukkha when you grasp. That is the meaning. That's why without thought, without this one, the five aggregates of form and mind, who are you? What are you? Find out in the meditation. Unless you can be in this state of silent without thought. That's why I wrote here. Silent mind. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. That is your true mind. You have to use this to see all this. Then you realize this thought is dependent, originating. This thought. Dependent originating. without condition, it cannot arise. So now you understand who are you? What are you? What is thought? How thought arises? There is no thinker behind the thought. That's why it's anatta, non-self. Nobody inside there. Thought is just respond to the memory, the brain, which is your organ of thinking. That's why under the dependent origination, the twirling, we have avijja, paccaya, sankhara. Avijja, paccaya, sankhara. Then sankhara, paccaya what? Huh? Aha, very good. Vijnana. Then vijnana, paccaya, nama rupa. This nama rupa is the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. This is the thought. The Buddha referred to this. So what happened is, the Buddha said, dependent on ignorance, you arise as thinking activity, sankhara, mental activity. Why? Ignorant means what? Ignorant of what? Ignorant of truth. You don't understand. So what do? When you don't understand? In school, what your teacher tell you? Go back and think about it. That's why the only instrument you have is think. Sankhara activity is think. That's why you think. So when you think, what happened? Like the physics experiment. Then this one is a light bulb. So upon contact, the light bulb lights up. When you think, you make contact with the brain. Do you understand? Because you need the brain, the memory, to think. Your thought is respond to memory. So when you think, you create contact, and this is an organ. That's why this thing light up. The lighting up is the vijnana. That is the thought consciousness. So this one is before the thought, the pure consciousness. Before the thought went in. Before the content went in. That's why this vijnana is one of the aggregate of mind. Can you recall? Vedana, sanya, sankhara, vijnana. Whereas under the four foundations of mindfulness, the Buddha used citta. Citta means the content has gone in. That's why under that mindfulness of citta, citta nupassana, he said, when the content of consciousness has lost, you must be aware. When the content of consciousness has greed, you must be aware. When there is anger, delusion, you must be aware. So all these are very clearly explained in the teaching, but people cannot understand. They go and develop through the commentary, the three lifetime type of dependent origination, which is of not much use. So if you understand this part, you understand thought, then you will know how to meditate. To meditate is not to create more thinking and thought process. Otherwise, you cannot realize your true mind. You cannot be in the state of awareness, sati, to observe, to understand the essential Dhamma. To see clearly who are you, what are you. how you function as a human being, how the paticca samuppada arise. Because now, I think some of you are ready to understand all this. Last time I cannot teach like that. If I teach like that, nobody understand. They were just wouldn't attend the class or walk out. Because this is not easy. This one you have to see in the meditation to understand. So this first part is clear now. Wu nian shi zhen xin. Without thought, that is your true mind. The second part is what? Dong nian qi wu ming. Wu ming is avijja, ignorant. Dong nian is creating thinking, mental movement, activity. So this one is actually sangha. No different. You understand? But Mandarin is always the other way around. The Buddha, ignorant first. Dependent on ignorant, sankhara activity arise. So this one, they say it the opposite way. Where you create sankhara activity means you have ignorance. Otherwise you won't create sankhara activity. That's why the heedless think a lot. Now you understand. Now you understand why you think a lot. Because you lack wisdom. You lack yonisomanasikara. You lack panya. You lack the three turning wisdom. First turning, second turning, and third turning. So without wisdom, there is avijja. It will condition thinking. That's why the enlightened being hardly think. No need to think. When they need to arise, only they create thought. They don't think. Basically, they don't think. But they use thought. So when you understand this, you will know how to meditate. So this one, how to translate? Dong nian qi wu ming. Okay. I thought activity. Can I use thought activity? Can also. Thought activity. Thought activity is due to avijja. Avijja, or ignorant. This one is ignorant. So if you understand this, then you ask yourself, what are you doing in the name of meditation? Who give you all those instructions? Who asks you to do all those things? Thereby creating thought, sankhara activity, then can never develop the silent mind, the true mind, the awareness within. Because they don't understand what those instructions are. Those instructions are only initial skillful means to train the mind. Do you understand? Because they realize this mind cannot be still without thought. Why? Because they do not have daily mindfulness, they do not have the initial wisdom. And they don't cultivate the five spiritual faculties. Because they lack spiritual faculty, sensual desire, ill will, the five mental hindrances, they are very active. And with this, it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you cannot meditate. You think a lot, you become heedless. And because of that, they need to do something to fix the mind, to make it peaceful, calm. They think by making it peaceful and calm, they can meditate. So what they do? They need an object of meditation, you understand? Then what do they use the object of meditation for? They need something to anchor the mind, because if they don't do it, it wander off, it think a lot. When you started doing Anapanasati, you realize what happened here. You can hardly believe the breathing. Split second is gone. Split second is gone. Because the mental hindrance hinders you from entering the meditative state, especially sensual desire. You every day you do that until it becomes habitual. That's why the moment you sit, a lot of thinking. And you don't know what to do. They want to focus and concentrate to stop the thinking. That's why they go for samatha meditation. Focus, concentrate the mind. Then suppress the thought. Note this, note that. But they don't explain to you what all these things is. Because they themselves also don't understand. They take the instruction, either from the commentary or from their teacher or whoever who taught them, then lock, stock, and barrel pass it over to you. And you don't know what you are doing. That's why I say, if you don't understand what you are doing in the name of meditation, you get stuck. Then how to develop the silent mind, the awareness within, to be aware, to be mindful. To be mindful, you must not think. Do you understand? Because you can do only one thing at a time. Correct? One thing at a time means what? You are either aware, mindful, without thought, or you are thinking. Thinking means what? You are lost in thought. You understand? That's why to be mindful, you cannot create thought. But all the meditation instruction you receive is to create thought. That's why how to meditate. That's why you find it very, very strange that people do this without understanding. And they are so gullible, thinking that whatever they do through the noting everything, that is vipassana. So a lot of these things, yeah, we are not here to argue, please, or comment. It's just to let you understand. Then you find out yourself in the meditation. Finding out yourself is Dhamma investigation. Then when you understand these two stanza, you will know how to meditate, especially the first one. Without thought, you already aware, mindful. Like swimming. Why must you try to float? Learn how to float. Why must you try to be aware? Learn how to be aware. Do you need to learn to be aware? The moment you are without thought, you already aware. And you somehow want to learn to be aware. And you know how they learn to be aware. Slow down everything. Especially walking meditation. Standing. All these are verbalization. Then what you do? Lifting, pushing. And they say this is vipassana. Which means they don't understand. When you understand, you don't have to do all these things. If your spiritual faculties are there, hindrance sees nothing to cause you to become heedless and think, then naturally you are in the meditative state. Why? Because these five spiritual faculties, they are conducive for meditation. They are spiritual faculties that can allow you to develop the meditative mind to understand spiritual teaching. First is faith. What is faith? When you have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, what happened to your mind? Your mind is very calm, very composed. True or not? And when it's very calm, very composed, it's not restless. That's why the hindrance is gone. There is no more doubt because there is faith. You understand? You counter these two. Then when you have spiritual zeal, that is energy. Understand? Spiritual tenacity. It will make you awake. Then how can you be sleepy? Do you understand? Sloth and torpor no more. Then when you have sati, when you are mindful, aware, there is no thought. No thought means what? No like, no dislike. No fear, no worry, no anxiety. None of all this negativity of mind state. It's just aware. Without thought. There is nothing to condition you into negativity. Well, only thought can create such emotion when you input the content. Then when you stabilize sati to become samadhi, your mind is collected and unwavering. So that when you live your daily life, at the moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel something, or think of something, your mind is collected and unwavering. Means what? The mind does not stir anymore. You understand? Because it's collected and unwavering. That's why you need samadhi initially before the wisdom comes in to see things as they are. Before the mind stir and react. Before you input the content of consciousness. When you input the content of consciousness, you are acting according to memory, which is not acting at all. Because your memory is your views, opinion, conditioning. All of your accumulated phobia, insecurity, scars of memory, your sadness, your anxiety, your lamentation, your sorrow, your whatever emotion that you have, positive and negative. So because of that, when you act according to memory, you're not acting at all. But these are all the rubbish inside there. These are not right thought. These are all your fear, phobia, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. So if you act using memory, then your mind will stir. That's how you create evil roots. That's how you create wrong thought. What are wrong thought? Wrong thought are thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, insecurity, and phobia. That's why you keep on creating wrong thought through delusion, through self-delusion, through ignorance. And why do you create that? Because that is the only instrument you have. You don't understand there is another mind which is just aware, no need to think. It's like the fish. The only atmosphere they know is water, understand? You tell the fish there is another atmosphere life up there where there is only air, no need water, you can survive. He don't believe. Because since birth until now, what does human being do? We only familiar with thought, understand? Where we think a lot. That's why my teacher Acharyantrai always say, the unenlightened being, the Puttujana, they think a lot. Then I remember Dhammapada verse 21. The heedless are as if they. Heedless means you couldn't be careless. You don't understand. That's why you simply do things. That's why you get into trouble. And the heedless think a lot. And they think all the wrong thoughts that create all the suffering. So knowing this is meditation. Understand? Now you see. That's why without awareness, without mindfulness, you cannot see all this. You cannot understand all this. You don't even know what is going on within life. You can't even understand who are you, what are you. How you function as a human being, your senses. How do you know the world? How do you interact with the world? How do you arise your thought process? How do you become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think? And all this, nobody taught me. I never learned this life, actually. I contemplated, reflected, then I inherited from my father. I understand all this. And you go and check. Any book write about you or not? So this is what meditation is all about. You investigate the silent mind, then you can develop your own understanding. It's not difficult. So hopefully with this, you will understand what my transcript means. Then next time you get the book, you read with understanding. You don't read with the word without understanding. That is very dry to you. You don't understand what those things are. So now I read again that sentence just now, see whether it's clearer to you or not. Turn to page 50. So first, train your mind until no thought. Now you see the importance of this or not? Yeah? Because without thought, you already aware. That is your true mind. And how to train? Cultivate the spiritual faculty. Like our last two Thursdays. If they are not there, develop them. And how do you develop spiritual faculty? Very easy then. as a revision, we go through. How do you do it? Faith, how do you do it? Huh? Louder, louder. I use the mic. Yeah.
We practice the teaching of Buddha until we can see the truth
yeah.
in it.
Yeah, very good. Means you, I reframe it for you so that it will stand out more prominently, so that you can understand. You must understand how special and how unique the Buddha is. You understand? He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened. He is the Sammasambuddha. You can say he is the most virtuous and the wisest living being ever to be born. And to have such a great being to be your teacher, you will have a lot of gratitude and faith towards him. Do you agree? That's how you develop. In the year 1971, when I read the Four Noble Truths, I never turned back. I straight away knew, no need to search, this is the guy. Nobody can summarize all of his wisdom and understanding into his Four Noble Truths so beautifully. That's why that year onward, I never turned back until today. I started cultivating non-stop. That time I was in Form 5. Form 4 I was searching. Form 5, I found the answer. Yeah. So when you understand who the Buddha is, and how unique and wise and virtuous a being he is, you will have faith in him. Then the most important thing is his teaching. Such a great teaching that can understand life completely and liberate your mind to make you enlightened so that you are free from all suffering. What is more important in life? Do you want all the money in the world? I will go for the Dhamma. With the Dhamma, I know how to live life. I will have the good life. Without the Dhamma, I can have all the money in the world and yet I will become miserable. We are through ignorant delusion. I will attach, I will cling, I will create my own illusion. Grasp, cling, and develop the misery, the suffering. So all this is how you develop the faith. Then when you have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, it will drive you to cultivate where you see the importance of this teaching. You understand? Can follow? So your faith and virya very fast there. So when this virya arises, a spiritual zeal that drives you to cultivate, so the next thing you will develop is what? Sati, mindfulness. Understand? Then I already taught you all inside here. You need a daily religious routine so that you can train your mind to be ever mindful in the midst of life, to be heedful. And when you do the formal meditation, the sitting, it is to develop the ability to allow your mind to enter sati or realize pasati, your true mind. Because when you are in a formal meditation in a retreat environment, you cannot do it, you don't stand a chance when you come out into the daily life. Because when you go back to society, go back to your work environment in the midst of daily life, your six senses or six sendo are fully engaged. If you are not mindful, how can you cope with life? Everything moves so fast. You can't even understand what is going on. The teaching is there, but you never understood what this teaching is. How you become conscious also you don't know. You only know that you wake up from your sleep. You are a conscious human being. But how do you arise all the consciousness? How do you know the world? The seeing consciousness, the hearing consciousness, the smell, taste, tactile, thought, and thought process. Yeah. So all your six sendo is how you can interact with the world and how you understand the world. You know the world through your senses. You interact with the world also through your senses. That's why the senses are very important. And under Dhammanupassana, the Buddha teaches mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases to understand clearly how you function as a human being. How all these sense door consciousness arise. Then when they arise, if you are mindful, you are sensitive, aware, you will know how you become like that. How you become lustful, emotional, angry, with all the evil roots of hatred, envy and jealousy. So all this, you see them in the meditation. If you can't see them, you are not meditating. Then all the essential Dhamma you start to understand. The five spiritual faculties, the five mental hindrances, the three evil roots, the four noble truths, the three turning. You see them all, the seven factors of enlightenment, and all the other essential Dhamma. This is the real cultivation, meditation. The first turning, the second turning, the third turning, the tenth step of the Avijja Sutta. They are all clearly spelled out in the teaching. That's why it's very important, under phase one of Dhamma Pariyatti, the learning of the teaching, you get all this understood so that you can cultivate with understanding. The moment you understand, you progress very fast. Otherwise, you are gullible. You do all those things that actually take you to Holland, and yet you don't know. And you still gullibly believe you are meditating, you are doing vipassana, and all those things. So this is something, maybe for you all to bear in mind. Go back, reflect, contemplate, write it down, so that you develop the clear understanding. And when you develop the clear understanding, the next time I see you, you will laugh. You say, Brother Teo, really, so easy, yet I never see. In fact, quite a lot of Kayamita told me that. He said, before you explain, cannot. Totally catch no ball. You know what is catch no ball? Liabu kiwa. Because they can't understand at all. So this is Dhamma, the real one. Not book knowledge, not theoretical teaching. This one, like the Buddha said, the Dhamma is pachetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. And they stand up to investigation, ehi basiko. And all the characteristics of Dhamma, they are there. The Dhamma is sanditiko, can be realized in the here and the now, before you die. Then this Dhamma is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond mind. If it's beyond thought, beyond mind, how can you use the instrument of thought to meditate? If you use the instrument of thought to meditate, can you realize the Dhamma which is beyond thought, beyond mind? You can't, isn't it? Your instrument is below what the Dhamma is. That's why you need sati, the true mind. And sati is beyond thought. That's the reason why, if you look at our world, one of my teachers taught me this. He said, Teo, do you know what is thought? You know what he told me or not? He said, thought is matter. You agree or not? You sure don't agree? Jayanta, your expression very good. Can you agree, thought is matter? No, never mind. Just express what you understand. When he said, thought is matter, can you agree that statement? You're a science student, yeah. So, I give you a hint. Very good. He said, thought has no form, so how can it be a matter? Now I use Einstein's equation. I ask you back. The Mong Cha Cha equation. E equals what? MC squared. E is what? Energy is thought, isn't it? Thought is equal to mass. Is mass a matter? Mass is a matter. It's trapped energy, understand or not? Not released yet. And what is C square? Speed of light square. You know how much energy can be released or not? 1 milligram times the square of light. You know how much energy or not? So thought is trapped energy. That's why when he told me thought is matter, I immediately agreed. But luckily I didn't answer like Jayanta. Thought is formless. How can it be matter? So whatever that is logical may not be the truth. Always remember that. Okay? So after he said that, the next thing he teach me was so beautiful. But he didn't put it in the language form that is so beautiful. But here, he don't have word or so on. He just tell me certain things. He used the word intelligent. He said, because thought is matter. So our mundane mind, he didn't use the word mundane mind, he used the word thought. He said, our thought has higher intelligence than form, than matter. Can you follow? Do you agree with that statement? Lei Hong. Agree or not? Don't agree, See? Because you say thought, formless. Kuan wei tio, yin wei tio. How can it higher intelligence than form? Logical. But do you know thought can see form? Do you understand? Form cannot see thought. Do you agree? This is very easy to understand, isn't it? And do you know all this form, do you know how they arise or not? They arise through thought, consciousness. Even the whole universe. All the planets, everything. All this form come about through consciousness. Without consciousness, there is no form. They call it the law of conservation of energy and mass. That's why physics, we have this law of conservation of energy and mass. So the summation is always zero. Nothing can be created out of... How is the equation here? Nothing can be created or destroyed, something like that. They can only be transformed. So now you understand why originally the whole universe is empty. You understand? From zero come one. One come infinity. So this is the teaching. What is zero? Neither positive or negative. Zero can be empty. So originally there was nothing. Then how does thing come about? That's why the scientists also, they start to understand. They say got dark matter. Cannot see you. Understand? Then also, they will tell you there is a positive convention and an antiparticle opposite convention. So we live in a positive particle convention. That's why we have this black hole. Understand? You know how the black hole form or not? The black hole form because the mass, that so-called dead star, or when the supernova happened, the outburst of the last very, very strong light caused the sun and everything to collapse into a very, very dense matter. And they call that the dark matter. You cannot see. But because this matter is so dense, until light also cannot escape. Do you know what is the escape velocity of our planet Earth? If you want to escape from the Earth gravity pool, you must travel at the speed of 5,000 miles per second. Not per hour, per second. Then you escape. What is the speed of light? Miles. Miles is 186,000. Yours is kilometer. Yeah, I study the British system one. I can remember 186,000 miles per second. No, 1 second. When you think, split second. 186,000 miles away. You know, that is the speed of light. You know. So your escape velocity has to be faster than the speed of light. Then only light also cannot escape. Do you understand? So it has to be very dense. That's why our planet Earth is not dense enough. Our star is much denser. But when they collapse, it becomes a what they call, don't know what type of neutron star, don't know what star, there's a name. Then all the light goes in, cannot come out. That's why around the black hole, you call it a black hole, but nothing come out. Everything going. But they believe the positive convention particle, they go in. But there is an empty particle that come out. And the scientist has discovered under high-speed electron microscope and accelerator, when they accelerate all these elements with very short half-life, they realize their half-life increase. And they also found pure energy inside them, positive and negative. These two, it seems, when they collide, they merge into pure energy, neither positive or negative. The scientists have started investigating and having this understanding. So because of that, all this that we study, it's not really extensive enough. There are still things that we may not understand. So just now, the thought has higher intelligence than form. Can you accept now? Because it comes from energy. Understand? Then this one created form, matter. That's why thought can see form. Form cannot see thought. So likewise, when you meditate, our awareness can see thought. You understand? But thought cannot see awareness. That's why he said awareness has higher intelligence, which is true. That's why I say, this is beautiful. This one I learned from him. That's why when I was able to go into that state of silence, then connect to my true nature, through the gateway, which also was shown to me by him, I don't need anybody. I don't even need him to teach me. Because the Dhamma I already have. That's why my internal transformation happened very fast. Then my mundane mind collapsed 9 months later. Then all this just happened. And 1989 until now, how many years already? 2019 minus exactly 30 years. So this year, our gathering of Kayamita, 15-year anniversary, I come out to share, 30-year anniversary after 1989. That's why it's a very significant year, auspicious year. So this year, after this year, I think more things is going to happen. Because the book that we are following is all after the Bodhisattva way. Is for Bodhisattva to cultivate. 2014, end of 2014 until 2019, before we start the new book. It was just cultivating the Bodhisattva way, understanding, introducing all this. But now, a lot of people have faith and willing to go that way. Then, the only thing lacking is how to do it. That's why we have this book, The Path to Truth. Sunday class started. Just one session, I think. This Sunday is going to have the second session. The Path to Truth for modern day Bodhisattva practitioner. Then after that, our Tuesday class, when we finish the book, The Buddha and His Teaching, we will go into the Pure Land teaching. they call it the famous 无量易经 the sutra of innumerous meaning is part of the very special the threefold lotus sutra in Mandarin is called what? 法华三部经啊法华三部经 So 无量易经 is the first sutra and that sutra is very beautiful chapter 1 is all on virtue that's why you will come to understand finally when you cultivate correctly when you have walked the path correctly after you awaken you develop nothing else except virtue you will have virtue without virtue you are on the wrong path that's the reason why I share and teach without virtue there is no genuine wisdom virtue must have wisdom behind without wisdom that is not the true virtue there is virtue according to the individual not true virtue so all this is something you will learn I actually explained a few times already about the thought higher intelligence than form then the awareness or the mindfulness higher intelligence than thought that's how you can see the hierarchy do you know how thought come about or not? Who created thought? Just now I draw the drawing already there So who created this thought? Awareness. Because this one, initially was spacious awareness. Then when you start to focus, you zoom in on something, and you create a tiny space, which is the shrunken awareness. Then you input the content, and this becomes thought. So thought is the product of your awareness, your nature. That's why in the sixth Paitriya Sutta and the Diamond Sutta, you remember? The fifth Paitriya told the sixth Paitriya, then the sixth Paitriya said, how amazing is it that all Dhamma arise from the what? The true nature, the self nature. He said, how amazing is it? Everything arise from that. That's why from your true nature, your original nature, everything starts. That's why it's called your true nature, your original nature, the oneness nature. From there, all things come. That's why from zero come one, then one is the first thought of ignorance, comes infinity. Now you understand? All these are very beautiful teachings. But it has been forgotten. And very few people can understand them. So these are the very good teaching that you can learn. For some of you, later you will find it useful. But you have your past. When you connect, you understand very fast. You will understand all this very fast. What you need is the condition for them to arise. Then this life, because of the sasana, you can understand this. In future, you cut short your training, your cultivation, and you will move very fast. 10:05 already. Okay, we better continue. Otherwise, page 50 also didn't finish. Yeah. Oh, because most people don't understand. That's why I don't want to chant. He said, chant the Paticca Samuppada. No point. Because you chant the words. No. The English and the Pali is just the word because you don't see it in the meditation. Understand? Avijja Paccaya Sankhara. Knowledge. But you see the meditation when you chant, like song, they all chant the Heart Sutta. Every word is crystal clear. The Dhamma is so beautiful. so meaningful. When you have those conditions, then when you chant, it's so beautiful. Understand now? That's why all these, they got the two cycles. The arising cycle, the cessation cycle. So all these are in the teaching. Yeah. Initially, it was put into the chanting book because this is standard teaching. And this teaching is very important, Patichasamupada. But I find it so difficult for people to understand. That's why I keep on repeating all this. You can ask Ingby, they are how many years already. All the Thursday class, the same essential Dhamma, except now I move a bit deeper, faster, because people can understand now. The consciousness is different. Okay, now we turn to page 50. Yeah? Now it should be very easy already, very fast. So first, train your mind until no thought. If this no thought state also you cannot arise, it means you are not still not ready to develop the meditation as yet, because you have yet to realize your true mind, your silent mind. This is where you start. Do you know Mahayana? They always say, if this simple understanding of mind also you cannot understand, then you cannot start your meditation. The Mandarin word is Xing Wei Gen Ben. Go play Suraya. Anyway. Xing Wei Gen Ben. It's in one of our this book. I don't know what lesson, I forgot already. Yeah. Red color. Yeah. What is Genpen? Foundation. I know it's original, but the actual meaning is Genpen. Basis. Basis. The root. The basis. You must start with mind, he said. Sing Wei Genpen. It's like your root. Sing is mind. And you must understand, every living being has two minds. You know what are the two minds? One, very easy, you use every time, every day, since birth until now. Yeah? That one is your mundane mind, your thinking mind. The one that is very difficult for you to understand is the true mind. That's a meditation you're supposed to realize that. When you realize that, you know the five aggregate of form and mind is not you. Like the Buddha's teaching. That's why the Mahayana teaching say, 五蕴皆空. The five aggregate are empty. Why? Because they are not real. They are impermanent, lead to suffering when you grasp and cling. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. It's dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. That's why empty, no reality. As real as it can be, it's only within the moment. Split second is dead and gone. And that is the only reality in life. So how real can life be? Do you understand? That's why the empty nature of existence, no reality at all. So Sing Wei Gen Ben means you have to start from mind. Start from which mind? Huh? Meditation, you start from the true mind. But cultivation, you start from the mundane mind. That's why the advice of the Buddha come from the law of karma. Do you understand? So he said, mind, the first aspect, which is the mundane mind, you have to start from there. Like the Buddha's Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. What did the Buddha say? He said, this mind, which is mano, mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything arises. This is how creation come about. This is how everything starts. The five aggregate of form and mind arise already, exists already. Then the Buddha continued. Yeah, verse 1 and 2, the opening statement is the same. Mind is a foreigner of all things. Mind is chief. And when mind arises, everything arises. Then Dhammapada verse 1, what did the Buddha say after that? If one acts, speak, and think with a heedless mind, with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, what happened? Suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hoof of the blockade. Okay? So, if you understand this, what must you do? You must train your mind to be heedful, eh? So that the evil roots are not there, eh? So that you don't have to go through suffering, isn't it? Then the complementary verse, verse 2 is what? Again, he repeats, your mind, the mundane mind, is the forerunner of all things. When this mundane mind arises, all things arise. Then if you train your mind, if you are heedful, if you act, speak, and think with heedfulness, without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then what happens? Happiness will follow you, like the shadow that never leaves you. With this understanding, you will know how to live life, true or not? Your life, you hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be miserable is entirely your choice. Don't tell me you don't know how to choose. If you choose to be happy, what must you do? Train your mind, be heedful, and avoid Dhammapada verse 1. Understand that? Then develop mindfulness, heedfulness, to cultivate Dhammapada verse 2, so that you can have the happy life. And the advice of the Buddha comes from this. Avoid all evil, means avoid Dhammapada verse 1. Do good. Follow Dhammapada verse 2. Understand? Purify the mind. Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 on heedfulness. That's why you have to train your mind to be ever mindful, constantly meditative. That is what the teaching is all about. That is what meditation is all about. Then to do the meditation, you have to start with the true mind. If you are not with the true mind, like I say, the instrument that you start off with is inferior. How can you realize something that is beyond thought when your instrument of meditation is thought? Do you understand? So it's very clear that you have to realize the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness within, which is of higher intelligence than thought. That's why don't use thought before you become enlightened. But you cannot, you have to live life. Thought depend on the user. You understand? Janta, last Thursday after the class, I told you, like money, neither good or evil. So thought is neither good or all evil. A lot of people scared of thought, no? When they know this, you know what they say? Thought is dangerous, make me heedless, create all this suffering. Because that is the unenlightened one, the grasping one. But the Buddha teach under Noble Eightfold Path what? Right view leading to right thought, isn't it? That is what you must cultivate. The user of thought must have wisdom. That's why you must meditate until you connect to your true nature. Then you awaken and realize the wisdom. And when this wisdom is connected to this fire aggregate of form and mind, which in our case is this human body, then this one is enlightened, you can say. But this is not me. Do you understand? But this one is just the fine aggregate of form and mind, not a permanent, unchanging entity. But this one, because of the awakening and the wisdom connected, is no longer deluded, no longer gullible. That's why this one will never suffer anymore from then onward. That is how awakening or enlightenment can happen. So you can follow. Yeah? Sing waken, but it's very important. Brother Teo not around. If he around, he will know which book. Because that book has been transcripted. I don't know whether it's this book or not. It could be this book, but one of these six patriot books. That's why a lot of you have the book, But I don't know whether you really read or not. Even if you read, I don't think you can understand. But you all didn't really go into it deep enough. If for me, when I was in 1971, I only saw the Four Noble Truths, that I go all out and never turn back. But now all these are given, and yet it doesn't, how to use the word, stimulate you. Doesn't even motivate you. You need so much motivation to move. I got a friend. He used this Cantonese word. He said, "Ngau pei tang long." Tím le tím hơi to tím chó. Who knows Cantonese? Can translate. Ngau pei tang long. Lantern make of what? Cow skin. Yeah, like her. Yeah, so difficult to like it out. So, ngào phê tăng lùng, tím lì tím hơi tới tím chỗ. So, I hope you all are not that tired. I hope you all are in between. In between means what? Not the one easily burned or not. Yeah, tím chỗ chỗ, the one you need huy neng. Huy neng's parami. But some may have, I don't know. When the time come, they all move very fast on. That's why you must have faith. The moment you connect, you move very fast. That is the reality of the cultivation. Before you connect, you may not even know what your potential is. I can give you an example. When you are young, in your kampung, small boy that time, until the age of even 15 or 12 years old, do you know what career you will be in? Do you know when you grow up, who you will become or not? What you will be doing or not? That's why you never understand and never will know. But after you went through all the uni, then you come out into life, then you become so extraordinarily successful because of your good karma, then you tell yourself, oh, I never expect to end up like that. But for me, I knew my nature is different since I was very young. A lot of things I do opposite of what normal human beings do. A lot of things they understand anti-logical. I blow flute also the other way around. The flute they hold the other way around. I hold this way. I join the band. So when I blow this direction, the band teacher or the band master straight away tell me, the flute is not for you. Because I love playing the flute. Then I told him, I can't change. Because when I change, I don't know how to blow the flute. Because I'm a right-hander. So he said like that, play the drum. So I play the side drum. Luckily, the side drum, I find out which direction first before I started learning. Otherwise, wrong direction again, cannot. Don't qualify. Okay. Then I read on so that you can understand. So, Sing Wei Ken Pen, understood? Page 16 got Oh, same book That's why this book is a jewel, I tell you. This book is very, very good, I tell you. Page 16, go back and we start from page 37, that's why we didn't go through it. So page 16, This one came from the story about the three Zen monks, the abbot and the three of his disciples. They received Bodhidharma. You know who is Bodhidharma? No? They received Bodhidharma. Then they saw Bodhidharma didn't wear shoe. Don't have any people follow him. No? They say, Dharma master from India like that one, so poor. So after that they spike him. Then they don't want to like give him respect and all those things. So they just go about do their thing. Then one day he saw the abbot and a few of those monks went into a room. supposed to be meditation. I think Bodhidharma knew. Then he also want to walk in. Then the gatekeeper said, this one is not for everybody, you know. You go in a 3 day, three day two night or 4 day three night, I forgot already. You sit meditate silent, no? Silent meditation means you cannot verbalize, you cannot chatter and all those things. No? So he said, Bodhidharma said he know, he went in. So four of them, including Bodhidharma, five of them, they sat down there. Then they sit down there, meditate with a silent mind. But their silent mind is you cannot talk. No talking. No talking is different from noble silence. Do you understand? The noble silence you see at the retreat one, they put the Anjali posture, the hand clasped together. But they have the finger like no talk, put in front of the mouth, no talk. I said, that is not noble silence, but they draw it like that, noble silence. That is not noble silence. You may not talk, but you verbalize and chatter inside there. Your mind is like a monkey, non-stop chattering and verbalizing. And that is not the silent mind. And I said, that is not noble silence. Noble silence means completely still, silent inside there. So what happened was, they start meditating. Then it went by, I think, about 8 hours or 10 hours. Then middle of the night, it started to rain. Then the window, because of the wind, it started to create the sound. Then one of the more junior monk panicked. He said, what is that? Is that the ghost? Then the other monk said, huh, you talk, you out. Then he realized he also talk. Then the other said, you also talk, you also out. Then the abbot looked at the third one. He said, you also out. Then you know what Bodhidharma did, huh? He used his glassware that he used for his drink. He just like grinding it on the table, understand? Creating all the sound, but he didn't speak. Then the abbot and all the monk look at him and ask him, what are you doing? Then he said, can I talk? He said, yeah. And you know what he told them? I'm trying to grind this glassware so that it can become a mirror. All of them laugh at him now. How can you grind the glassware until it become a mirror? You must be crazy. And you know what Bodhidharma said? In the same way, if you don't even understand this, seeing wei ken pen, you think by sitting and don't talk, you can become enlightened. You are doing exactly like what he is telling you. You are doing the impossible, understand? You are trying to grind the glassware and make it into a mirror. Means you don't understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. You think by sitting, not talking, you are meditating. He said, this is foolish. This basic understanding also you don't have how to cultivate. That's why after that they respect him so much. Then he explained, Sing Wei Ken Pen. You go and look at the video, the Mandarin is very good. It's all about karma. But the Buddha used mind as a forerunner of all things. So he said, in Mandarin, Sing Wei Ken Pen. Means when mind arises, you must know how to use it, to cultivate it appropriately. Zhong san ying jie san guo, zhong er ying jie er guo. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. You plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. If this also you cannot understand how to cultivate, then you don't know what the advice of the Buddha is all about. The advice of the Buddha is to avoid evil. Do good, purify the mind. How do you avoid all evil? Keep the precept. That's why you don't know how the precept come about. The precepts are major evil. And when you know this basic teaching, mind is a forerunner of all things, when you are heedless, suffering comes to be. You will be heedful. You will never do all those things. then you will never be heedless again. You will follow the advice of the Buddha. Then you will avoid all evil, cultivate wholesomeness, then develop mindfulness to purify your mind, to cultivate wisdom. And this is how he taught them. Then only they start to understand how the teaching come about. Because I realize that a lot of these people, Buddhists especially, when I give Dhamma talk that time, especially salesmen, they always ask me, Brother Teo, he said, this precept about lying is very difficult to keep in. He said, why must there be such a precept? He said, we are salesmen now. If we don't lie, how can we have sales? He said. Yeah. And the way I answer them is very beautiful. So I say, do you know how the precept come about? It's out of love and compassion of the Buddha that he introduced the precept. But if you violate them, they constitute major evil. Your karma will fall and you will reap the fruit of major evil. Is that what you want? If that is not what you want, you better keep the precept. Don't try to be a hero. So all this understanding is lacking, I realize. Not there anymore. People just chant, Panatipata Viramanisika Padang Samadhiyami. But the significance behind, forgotten. The precept is a training rule. We undertake the training rule to abstain. How to do it? You must develop mindfulness. You must understand what constitutes evil and see them through your awareness, through your sati, through your mindfulness. Then only you can keep your precept. That's why Avijja Sutta is very clear there. The step 5, the step 6 on sense restraint, that is keeping precept. When can step 6 come? After you have developed the step 2, listening to the Dhamma, contemplate, reflect, develop the initial wisdom, first and second learning wisdom. Then when you stand up the investigation, your faith in the Buddha and his teaching become unshakable. That is the third step. Then fourth step is the Uniso Manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience, which is your first and second learning wisdom. After you develop this, only your mind will not stir so often and you will become more and more at peace. That's why you can develop the daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. After that, only you can have sense restraint. Can you follow? That's why you don't train your mind to be ever mindful with clear comprehension and the initial wisdom, you don't stand a chance. That's why I said the real meditation only starts when there is sati sampajana developed, very stable. Not until your daily mindfulness is very stable. Clear comprehension is very stable and the initial wisdom developed. You cannot really keep your precept. You don't stand a chance at all. But the real meditation only starts from there. Only after the sense restraint can you arise the 3 way of right conduct. Right speech, right action and right thought. That is step 7. Then only move on to the cultivation of the 4 foundation of mindfulness. Step 8. Then only you will know you are on the right path. But after that, step 9 is the 7 factors of enlightenment keep on arising. Then you know you are on the right path. Then you are destined for enlightenment. That's why the 10th step is enlightenment in the here and the now. You will realize them. So this is what the teaching is all about. So now I read this one, then at least we finish one paragraph. So first train your mind until no thought. If this no thought state also you cannot arrive, it means you are still not ready to develop the meditation as yet. But you have yet to realize your true mind, the silent mind. Understand this so that you move on. When you are most of the time aware, ever mindful, it means most of the time you are without thought. That is the real state of mind of an enlightened being. You are just aware. Then when you perceive, you aware, finish. The thought does not continue, proliferate. Then thought may arise, but it stopped there. After that, it doesn't proliferate anymore. Then you continue with your daily life. Thought will arise, but immediately after that, it does not proliferate anymore because of your wisdom and understanding. And it doesn't move like before anymore. Means it does not stir and create evil roots. Then it is always with the moment in pure awareness, more and more, more and more. Previously, before you have the mindfulness developed, you tend to think ahead. You tend to think of many things, and you are hardly aware because you are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life most of the time. You think of your problem, worry about them, and you also plan to do all those unfinished business that you have given importance to. Then your conditioned thinking, let's say when you are at home, you say, yeah, I need to go upstairs to take something. Then it conditions you to walk towards the staircase. But as you do that, you are not aware or mindful of your walking. And instead, you are thinking and heedlessly lost in thought. And you are not aware of what you are doing. That thought conditions you to go upstairs. Then as your body turns to go upstairs, you are not aware. You are still thinking. Then when you reach the staircase, your thought asks, why am I here? Then you recall, oh, I'm supposed to do something. That's why I'm here. But because you are not mindful. To do something, that's why I'm here. You are not mindful. When you are mindful, all these things cannot happen. Because you are with the moment. But when your thoughts are ahead of your action and activity, that's how you become heedless. And you think a lot, and the thought is ever proliferating ahead of your action, and you are hardly aware because you are not mindful. You think a lot. Human beings' problem is they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. They are never with the moment to truly live life, to be aware of what is happening within the moment. That's why I always advise whatever you need to do, write it down, so that you don't have to use so much memory, so that you don't have to retrieve it through the memory via your thinking. Just write it down, very simple. Then the mind doesn't have to worry about it, because it is already written down, and you won't forget. Do you understand? What are the things that you need to do? You just write it down. This one, as you progress, you have to do this. I tell you, otherwise you create your own attachment, because you that fear, which is very subtle, is there. You scared, you forget. After that, you think you absent-minded. No, it's not really you absent-minded. No, because when your mind transforms, it becomes non-grasping. No, it cannot hold on to things. No, but when there is condition, it will arise. On. That's why I ask you, why did I say that? Then when you tell me the condition, I will recall. Because at that moment when I speak, I have the awareness. So I only need you to let me know the condition why I speak that way. The moment you say that, I will know how to continue already. Because everything is dependent originating. And this moment when I speak, next moment, split second, that thought is gone. Because this is non-grasping. It cannot hold. The brain cannot be like last time. Hold on to think, worry about it. Cannot. It just cannot do. Finish means finish. No more. The moment, the reality, all very clear. Hey, sorry. The time already over. Huh? No wonder I say the alarm never ring. rang already. So we stop here, page 52. At least I cover 1.5 pages. So not bad. I remember Sunday class. There were a few sessions. Didn't even move one sentence. Because there is so much Dhamma to explain. And Dhamma is really beautiful, I tell you. When you understand, you have a lot of joy. a lot of faith, a lot of gratitude. Okay, so we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we will share merits, transfer merits. Then we invoke blessing for nation. Then you make your expression. Akasatta ca bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana itta watta ca amihi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sidiya idang menyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatina hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo satu kalena sasa sampati hetoce Pito bawa tu loko ca Raja bawa tu dhammiko Imina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu Sadhu. Okay. Pay respect to Triple Gem. Huh? Then we end. Thank you.
Number 19.